I think all of us at some point in our lives can recall a time where we've said or done something that was prideful, where we tried to make ourselves out to be more than we really are. And I can remember one time in particular, years ago, while I was a seminarian, there was a special event at the new cathedral, and I was going to be participating in that event in a small role. And I thought that I was told that I would have parking in the reserved parking lot. So when I drove to the cathedral, I went to the parking lot, and the parking attendant said that I wasn't on the list. And I thought, okay, no big deal. I'll just go to another parking lot. Well, there was a parking attendant there too. And that second parking attendant also did not have my name on the list. Well, I wasn't too happy about that. I was a bit frustrated, thinking that, you know, I'm going to be part of this special event. I should have that reserved parking. And being familiar with the cathedral and the parking lots in the cathedral, I knew a back way into that parking lot. So I decided to go around that parking attendant, take the back way, go into the parking lot, park, and then just kind of hurry into the cathedral so that they can't stop me. And unbeknownst to me, the parking attendant saw what I was doing, and he came over. And so as soon as I got out of my car, there he was. And he confronted me. And during that conversation, the Lord struck me in my heart, revealing to me how prideful I was being. And in that moment, I felt embarrassed. And I sincerely hoped that none of my brother seminarians saw what I had just done. And I wonder if that's kind of the situation that the disciples found themselves in. When Jesus asks them, what were you arguing about along the way? They just kind of fall silent because they know that they were being prideful. They were trying to figure out who was the greatest, and they were making themselves out to be more than they were. And we can also see this idea, this concept of pride in our first reading as well. When the wicked men see the just man and they're upset with him, they see that the good things that he's doing are revealing his faults. And the wicked man has the opportunity. He can choose to be humble, to recognize his mistakes, and to be better. Or the wicked man can choose to be bitter, can choose to remain prideful. And it seems that that's the choice that we hear about in our first reading. Because the wicked men decide that they're going to put this just man to the test. They compare themselves to him. They get angry. They're frustrated. They're being judgmental, thinking poorly of this just man. Well, he's not as righteous as he claims to be. Well, if he's so great, let him prove that. Let's put him to the test. Let's challenge him. Let's make life difficult for him. And so they decide to go after him. And even though this passage in our first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, which was hundreds of years or perhaps 1,000 years before Jesus, it seems like it's a precursor or a preparation for what happens to Jesus. And Jesus knows that it's coming. He even tells us in our gospel passage. He tells us that the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. If we look at that first passage, those wicked men are like the scribes, the Pharisees, and the other religious leaders who are upset with Jesus, who has consistently pointed out their faults and has challenged them to grow, has challenged them to be better. And just like in our first reading, they're upset and they decide to put the just man to the test. That's what the scribes, the Pharisees, and the other religious leaders who persecuted Jesus did to him. And he knew that it was coming. But what can we do about this tendency towards pride? This pride that we see in those wicked men, the pride that we saw in our disciples, in the disciples, in our gospel passage, what then would be the cure? Well, it would be humility. If pride is making ourselves out to be more than we are, then humility would be recognizing the truth of who we are, especially in relationship with God. Now, compared to God, everyone and everything is nothing because God is infinite, and everyone and everything is finite. But God reveals to us his tremendous and awesome love for all of us, how important we are to him. That Jesus tells us that he's going to give his life up for us on the cross, that God the Son would become man in order to give us the opportunity to be saved, to be reconciled with God the Father, the opportunity to be with him forever in heaven. That is to say, God loves us so much, he considers us worth dying for. Even if it was just you, personally, individually, you, who needed to be saved, Jesus would still give up his life on the cross for just you. Because you are that important to him. You are loved by him that much that he would go through his passion and his death and his resurrection. So, in humility, we recognize the truth that compared to God, we are nothing, that he is creator, we are creature, but he has this profound and amazing love for us. Such love that he would become man and die on the cross. And so it's important for us, those of us who are afflicted by pride, to seek humility and to receive that tremendous and awesome love of God. When we know deep down inside of us how important we are to God, how much we are loved by God, then we don't have to make ourselves out to be more than we are. We would be comfortable with who we are, that we are beloved children of God. Now, that is to say that God loves us tremendously, but he doesn't always love everything that we do. When we sin, we're doing something contrary to God. We're opposing ourselves to God. But he wants us to be with him forever. So even when we make mistakes, even when we sin, even when we fall away, we're still loved by God. But he loves us so much, he wants us to be better. He loves us so much, he wants to heal us of our tendency towards sin. He loves us so much, he wants us to be the best version of ourselves. He wants us to be united with him forever in heaven. And when we recognize that, when we accept that love, when we are humble, then we can overcome that tendency towards pride. Then we can be closer to our Lord. I remember in that parking lot, after the Lord had revealed to me how prideful I was being, I humbly got back into my car and I drove off that parking lot. And I parked in the street, but ironically, where I parked in the street was actually closer to the cathedral than that parking lot. But that's not the point. In my humility, recognizing that God loved me so much that he was willing to point out to me how I was falling to pride, how I was sinning. And so even though I was embarrassed, it was a positive experience in the end, recognizing that tremendous love of God and how he calls me to holiness. And so let us take a moment of silence to meditate upon humility, recognizing the truth of who we are in God's eyes and how tremendously he loves us. And as we ponder that humility and that love of God, we can also prepare ourselves to receive that tremendous love of God, because he loves us so much that he wants to be with us, even here, even now, even physically in person, such that he would come to us in the most Holy Eucharist.